But just as a reminder, if you're taking out the garbage or you see something, some roadkill, and you go, oh, gross, remember to pray for the Gross family. Just a little memory gimmick. Our coworkers, the Hughes, they're also listed on the back. Their little gimmick was, when you tie your shoes, pray for the Hughes. So if you're tying your shoes or smelling something disgusting, you'll think of Moldova and pray for us. But please do grab one. What I want us to do is to look at the life of Joseph. And if you haven't read about the life of Joseph, when you get time on your own this week, read here in Genesis 37 about an amazing man who was used of God in a great and mighty way. As we go through and we end up reading about his life this morning, we won't read all the details, but I want us to take principles through this about following God. And as we go through this, I also want to end up sharing testimony about what God has been doing and was doing while we were in Moldova when all this stuff happened in Ukraine. And just to share kind of a story and testimony of what God has been teaching us and bringing us through as we've been going through this. Early in the morning on Thursday, February 24th, just a little bit past 6 o'clock in the morning, laying there in bed, and all of a sudden I end up hearing this rumble, hearing and feeling this rumble, and I thought that was a bit strange. And you know, as I think most men in the household, we start going through our own minds about, okay, I have this sound recorded, I know what this means, I know what this sound means, and okay, that was that, oh, that was the refrigerator, no, that was the heating system kicking on. We have this listener mind of sound effects. Well, this one wasn't adding up. And I'm going through it, and I thought, I'm not sure what that was. So I end up getting up and looking at my phone later on that morning, and once I looked at my phone, I had a message from my coworker, Jacob Hughes, who was in America for furlough at that time, and he ended up saying this. He said, hey, Lord be with you guys. You mentioned a plan to get out of the country. I didn't ask what would be the point at which you'd make that decision. Are you considering that with the onset of hostilities? I'll do anything I can if you need anything. I read that message, I knew something had happened. So I ended up turning on the internet and looking at the news, and sure enough, Russia had invaded Ukraine. A month previously, actually to the day, I had contacted my pastor and missions director to talk about if Russia were to do what America was stating that Russia would do, what would be our game plan? What would go into the decision-making on what we would end up doing, whether we stay, whether we leave, whether we head on over to Romania? And so a month had been actually used to prepare and kind of think through these things. But, you know, you can do all the planning in the world, but until the thing actually happens, you start realizing what you hadn't expected and what you hadn't actually planned for. Not knowing what was going to be happening, we end up starting this journey of having to make some decisions very quickly. I want us to look at some different principles, because following God is an exciting journey, isn't it? Those of you that have known the Lord Jesus Christ for many years, you know that following Christ is not a boring life. It's an exciting life. It's a life that is without regrets, though it does come with heartache and difficulties and comes with problems. But we have the one who's with us to help us through those problems. He never promised us an easy life on this earth. In fact, he said, you will have tribulation. He says, but of good courage, I've overcome the world. So I want to give testimony this morning of different principles in following God and how we had to follow the Lord through the events that occurred over in Ukraine right next door to us. If you have your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 37, I want us to look at verses 18. We'll start there in verse 18 of chapter 37. And the first principle is this: to follow God, we must trust him in the unknown. Anyone dealing with some unknowns in their life right now? Follow God, you must trust him in the unknown. Look, if you will, with me in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph was the favored son in his family, and his other brothers did not appreciate this, that their brother, second to youngest, was being favored. And they end up having this jealousy and envy of him. And in fact, when they ended up seeing him, when he came to go check on them, the father had sent them, they wanted to kill him. Notice what it says in Genesis 37, 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. Shall see what will become of his dreams. Joseph had had dreams that his brothers would bow down to him, that he would be exalted in some high position. He didn't like those dreams. He didn't like their younger brother being of a superiority in some way down the road. So they desired to kill him. Taking him, they throw him down into a pit. You think there were some unknowns running through Joseph's mind when he was down in that pit? I think there was. Wondering, am I ever going to see my father again? What are my brothers going to do to me? God, these dreams that I had, is there going to be a fulfillment of this? I wonder what was going through his mind during that time, but I know there were unknowns. Later on, Joseph ends up getting sold as a slave, and he ends up going down to Egypt. Notice what it says in verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and flesh. And his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, brought Joseph to Egypt. Again, unknowns. Long trail down to Egypt. No airplane, no trains, anything like that, cars. We had a long way to go. A lot of unknowns. What's going to happen to me when I get to Egypt? Ends up getting sold into the household of Potiphar, and more questions would definitely arise. Knew he was being taken from, but he didn't know where he was going. Morning, when all the things happened, there was a lot of questions that we had in our minds, a lot of unknowns. You ended up realizing that if we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to have to trust him even in the time of the unknowns. We don't know, but we can trust in the one who does know. We have to find the comfort in that. We knew God, as much as we would like to get some email from God that says, okay, this is what's going to happen next, here's Russia's plans, blah, 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 blah. We don't get that, but we have to trust him. He, as I'll give testimony, ended up preparing the way for us. So the first principle I see here in Joseph's life is to follow God, we must trust him in the unknown. Second principle I want us to look at this morning is to follow God, we must ignore those who criticize or question us for following God's will. In this world, not everyone is going to understand why we do what we do. Maybe there's other coworkers that don't understand why you're not going to the party with them after work with the other coworkers. Young people, you're going to have other kids at school, other students wondering why you aren't participating in all the things they're participating in. You're going to follow God, you have to be prepared to deal with the criticisms that are going to come your way. After we ended up finding out the news about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we thought, well, Ukraine is about the largest European country. We're going to be having the conflict in the eastern part. There's lots of time. We'll just hang out here. We'll just have bags packed and just be ready to go if the embassy says, Americans, you should get out. And so our plan was to actually just stay. My wife and I ended up going into town, and Moldova still had restrictions with COVID, so we went into town to had COVID again. Our whole family did it in January, so we went in to get antibody testing done that would allow us to get into other stores and stuff. So we ended up going down there, and while we were in town, we met Victor. You saw him in the video. He works with the border police. And he ended up coming over to us with a very serious look on his face and said, did you hear what happened? I said, yes, we did. I heard they came in on the eastern part of Ukraine. He said, Dave, attack was not just in the eastern part of Ukraine. Bombed all throughout the country. He took out his phone and showed me on the map how there were missiles and bombs that had dropped, not just in the eastern part where the conflict has been, but also airports and other key strategic locations throughout the entire country. And all of a sudden, I got thinking about that sound and rumble that we had heard in the morning. I looked on the map that he had shown me, and it was about 50 miles away is where one of the targets were that morning. And other people had reported having heard and felt the same thing. This was a different thing than what we were expecting. So we end up trying to think through on this and praying and find out, okay, God, what would you have us to do? We end up calling and talking with our pastor and missions director and other advisors once again and explained to them the situation. And a number of different things went into the decision, and they actually highly, highly, highly insisted and encouraged us to for me to take my family over to Romania. Of the other missionaries were planning on leaving at this point, and so I kind of felt bad about it. I felt like I was going to be leaving the people that we love so dearly, and really struggled with it. But as we end up talking with our advisors, there are several things that came into play. Number one, as you saw in the video, we are right on the border with Ukraine. In fact, our town is right on the river. Across the river, that's Ukraine. Thankfully, over there, things have been peaceful. Across the river there has not been any military stuff going on there. But just 15 miles south of us is another part of Moldova called Transnistria. Transnistria is a part that considers themselves to be independent of Moldova, and there's 1,500 Russian troops that are stationed there. The very northern border of that is just 15 miles from us. That same day, Moldova closed its airport. So the whole idea of driving 3 hours down to the airport and just flying out was no longer an option. We already had our tickets purchased for furlough to fly out April 12th, And so we had to come up with a plan B. How are we going to end up getting back for furlough as well? So just with the whole things that were all included in this, and also the other people that were analyzing stuff, were expecting that if Russia were to quickly take over Ukraine, Moldova would be next. In fact, Victor, who was in the video with his wife, this is another Victor. We have this joke that everyone's name is Victor. So in our family, we have Victor the insurance guy, Victor the border police guy, Victor the... In fact, if you look at my contacts in the phone, that's the same thing you see there. So if you don't know someone's name, just try Victor. He told me, he said, watch the city of Odessa. He said, if Odessa falls, I expect Moldova to be next. Moldova was part of the Soviet Union, and many believe that Russia is trying to regain territory that it lost once the Soviet Union fell. Border crossing by car becomes something very challenging once an invasion occurs. People were waiting for over 20 hours at the border to come into Moldova from Ukraine once the invasion occurred. So they said, we would feel a whole lot better. Please, please, please take your family over to Romania. With this decision came criticism. For one, I was criticizing myself because it was hard to even make that kind of a decision. Also, we had some others that we were ministering to, the one in particular that was criticizing and saying, yeah, go back to America. You think you're going to be safe there? Well, safety is of the Lord. You know, in fact, we feel safer usually in Moldova than we do America, to be honest with you. But this was something that we end up having criticism for doing. It was difficult. It was difficult because we felt like, well, this is what God would have us to do. The leadership, this is what they were encouraging us to do and felt that this was going to be the wise thing to do. But when we followed the Lord, we had to be prepared to deal with criticism. Trust the Lord, just keep following him. If we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to have to trust him in the unknown. If we're going to follow the Lord, we have to deal with criticism. Joseph had to deal with criticism. Look in chapter 37. We're actually going backwards a little bit, but verse number 3. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Once he has his dreams, guess how they responded to that? Notice in verse number 8 at the end, it says, and they hated him yet the more for his dreams, the dreams that he had that his brothers would be bowing down before him. They hated him for it. They criticized him for it. His own father ended up having some words to say to him once the second dream included his own father and mother bowing down to him. Joseph was criticized. We have to deal with criticism in our own life as well. Third principle I see here in the life of Joseph in following God is to follow God, we must serve where he places us. Joseph is taken as a prisoner. He's probably in his mid to late teens at this time. Mentions the age of 17 in one of the parts of his the reading. He ends up going down to Egypt, and he gets sold as a servant in the house of Potiphar. Look with me in Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 39, verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had put into his hand. See here that Joseph, after he was sold as a slave down in Egypt, we don't find him pouting in a corner, do we? He goes, I am now a servant of this man Potiphar. God has a purpose and a plan for it. I'm going to be busy serving God in this position. Hard to do, isn't it? Especially when this isn't what we want to happen. This is not what we had expected. But all of a sudden we find ourselves either having to stand in a corner and pout, or else get busy and do what God has opened up for us to do at that time. I like how Paul ends up introducing his epistles. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are, folks. Servants of Christ. Joseph served. Not only when he was sold as a slave to Potiphar, end up reading later on, Potiphar's wife, a very immoral woman, tries to get Joseph to commit immorality with him. He refuses, he runs, leaves his coat, and Potiphar comes home, and his wife starts crying to him, saying that Joseph was trying to do evil things to her. Joseph finds himself in prison, and once again, we end up finding Joseph serving the Lord. Chapter 40 ends up going down there, and it says in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth or angry against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound.
And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he did what? Served them. They continued a season in ward. Once again, we find this, that Joseph, in an undesirable place, where is he? He's in prison. Something he never even did. It's hard enough to be in that location if you had done something, but it's even worse if you're there and you hadn't done something that they say you did. What do we find him doing? Serving. It doesn't matter what is going on, where we are, we can serve God. This is what he desires for us to do. Do not let the tragedy of these things turn his course and turn his eyes away from serving his Lord. We ended up packing up our belongings, and we ended up leaving on a Sunday morning. We ended up heading for the border of Romania. This whole question was going through my mind, Lord, where do I fit in this puzzle? This isn't what we had expected. This isn't what we had planned. Thought, well, what we can do is when we're at the border, we can have tracks in Russian and water and food to offer to the refugees that have traveled through Moldova and trying to head further west. When we got to the border, about over 90% of the vehicles there were actually from Ukraine. They were refugees. Offered them water, food, but they said actually, very few actually took anything. And they said, well, actually, when we came into Moldova, the Moldovans loaded us up. And I thank the Lord for the Moldovan people. Have been on the receiving end for so many years, and then to see them rise up to the cause and end up seeking to give and serve the Ukrainian refugees pouring into the country was amazing to see. In fact, out of all the countries in Europe, Moldova has the most refugees per capita than any of the other countries. Small country, when you see how many of the people they were serving was amazing. Ended up handing out tracts to different people that were there. I got a witness to a number of them. It was a small thing. It was a short thing, but I was trying to see, Lord, what can I do with this plan that has now come up? Ended up going through the border, and we're driving to Yash. Once again, just really struggling with this whole thing of, God, where do I fit in this? As we're driving on our way there, I end up getting a message from a missionary, Eric Chapman, who has served and done ministry work in Moldova for many years and now does a lot of work actually in Africa and other locations in the world as well. He was trying to get to Moldova to help. He has a Christian camp that's there, and he was trying to get there to help them as they were housing refugees, but not all the buildings were capable of heat. So he was working to get there and help them get the funds and work done to have heat, house the refugees. Airport's closed in Moldova, so he's flying into Yash. I write him, I said, hey, Brother Chapman, we're actually going to Yash right now, which is the city right across the border in Romania. He said, if you want, I can drive you into Moldova to your camp. So we worked it out, and God showed me another piece of the puzzle I was in. So on Thursday of the following week, he flew into Yash, Romania. I picked he and his wife up, and we drove back to Moldova. I had to go back anyways because of our residence permit. I need to pick up the new card for that. And also the plates on our van were going to expire when our residence expire. So I had to get new plates on our vehicle. Otherwise, we have a big overweight in Romania, and that wasn't going to be helpful. We ended up going back, and I was expecting to be in Moldova for a week. I get there. I had a great time of fellowship with Brother Chapman. Hadn't got to talk to him for quite a while. And we had a great time of talking. And also while I was there at the camp, some church in Romania said, we have refugees from Ukraine here. Do you have any Bibles? And they said, well, actually, we have a guy who's going back to Romania in about a week, and he can take the Bibles to you probably. So they talked to me, and I said, sure. They loaded up the Bibles, Russian Bibles, in the back of our van. And so I had those ready to go. Well, I thought I'd be going back and getting all my documents taken care of and the new plates in the van in a week, and that didn't happen. Go to immigration's office, and they said, due to all the Ukrainian refugees that are here trying to seek asylum, we are way behind schedule. Well, that 1 week turned into 2 weeks. So once again, once I found this out, Lord, what am I supposed to do during this time? Well, the other missionary that I was staying with in the capital while I was trying to get the document stuff taken care of, some people had donated money for help for refugees, and so we ended up going to the, it's kind of like Sam's Club, and we loaded up with food and stuff to take to the refugees at the Chapman's camp, and we got to do that. Once again, I looked and I saw my plates were going to expire in just a few days. I got thinking, you know, I have another friend, a Moldovan, who has been going to the border of Moldova and Ukraine, picking up refugees and taking them to their next destination. I thought, I have a 9-passenger van. Let's do it. So I contact him, and he said, sure, come with me. So we end up driving down one day to the border of Moldova and Ukraine, and we picked up refugees there that were trying to get to their next location. I had 8 in my vehicle, and he had 4 in his vehicle. We were driving back. I had about 3 to 3.5 hours to get a witness to these folks and get to be a blessing to them. To hear their testimonies of what they had gone through was very difficult. I'm not talking about whatever's on news or Russian propaganda or things like this. We're talking about personal testimonies. One of the ladies, she ended up going riding with Igor in his car. Most of the people were from Mykolaiv, which is between Mariupol and Odessa. And she was in her apartment. She wasn't planning on leaving until there were missiles that blew up the apartment building next to her, killing her neighbors. She packed up what she had, what she could, in a suitcase, and came to Moldova. There was another family. Same thing. There were mortars and other things dropping in their neighborhood. We're not talking about military establishments, folks. We're talking civilian housing area. They're being attacked and bombed by Russians. They end up packing up their things and leaving. What surprised me, though, was the amount of calmness, strength that was in these people. One of the ladies left her husband. He's in the military. Her son was in the vehicle with us. They weren't bawling their eyes out, just accepting this is what we have to do for our country. So they were headed. I drove them to the capital city, paid for their bus fare to get to their next location. Given hugs, they were so appreciative, very open to the gospel. I've heard reports of others that said that they had tried passing out tracts in other cities in Ukraine, and people were not all that receptive. Once all this stuff happened, how receptive the people became. There has been an open door there. Picked up the documents. The Lord worked that out. I ended up grabbing the things I needed and ended up heading back to Romania. I dropped off the Bibles, met the other people from the church in Romania and got them the Russian Bibles. And so they were able to get God's word to those refugees in their own language, at least in the Russian language. Many of them know Russian as well as Ukrainian. And the day I was driving back to meet my family in Yash, they stayed there while I went back to Moldova. Our coworkers, you met Jacob and Viola Hughes, because the airport in Moldova is closed. Guess where they're flying into? Yash, Romania. So they needed the transport to get back to Moldova. So they flew in, and then the next morning I woke up, picked them up, and drove them to the border, and another missionary family took them back into Moldova. Now we end up heading west after this to actually a supporting church of ours in northwestern Romania, in Cluj. They actually are the ones who headed up the translation of the Romanian translation that we use in Moldova. And they had wanted us to give a report previously, but we were planning to come back on furlough. It wasn't going to work out. But now we're in Romania. We needed to reschedule our flights. So we end up going out there for 3 weeks to report to the church and help out the missionary there and get to be a blessing there. Not only did we get to help the Nibbies, but also he ended up having money sent to him to help out refugees. And so he ended up taking 2 van loads of beds and food into Ukraine to a Ukrainian pastor who was housing over 100 refugees that had been coming from the eastern part of the war-inflicted areas and headed west for safety. There have even been missiles that have been dropped not far from where he's even at. Brian Nibby, the missionary in Romania, and one of the other men in the church, they don't really know much Russian, but conversational at least to a degree with Russian. So I was invited to go along with him and got help with translating to be a blessing there and help. This was just another piece of the puzzle and to serve where I could. I wish I could say that, we had this really big influence. I don't know what influence we end up really having in the end, but it was just little things here and there. God knows to what degree these things will be used of him in glory. You have to ask yourself the question, where do you fit in all this? Whatever you're facing right now in your life, whatever unknowns, how can you serve God through it? It may not seem big. It could be something that seems very small to you. Try to serve the Lord in whatever you are facing. You might be having to go to doctors and such, and you think, how can I serve the Lord in going to a doctor? You can be a witness to him there. You can hand out tracts. You can witness to your doctor. You can seek to be an encouragement to others that are going through the same thing but don't know Christ. You can serve the Lord. You have to serve the Lord wherever you are. Joseph ended up doing this. Fourth principle in following God I want us to look at is to follow God, we must accept what he gives us and allows into our life. Difficult? Actually accept it. Don't say, okay, Lord, this is what you have for me. I'm going to hold on to this. This is it for now. This is what I have. That's difficult. We see in Joseph's life, in the end, his testimony that he gives to his own brothers. Look with me in Genesis 45. Joseph ends up, because he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, there was no candlestick maker, I don't believe, they ended up going, he interprets their dreams, and the cupbearer ends up getting taken back into service. Pharaoh has a dream, and he finds out that Joseph can interpret his dream. Joseph interprets it, and Pharaoh makes him second in command over all the nation of Egypt. A famine, Joseph's brothers come down to get food. Come before him. Joseph recognizes them. They don't recognize him. After a series of different events, he finally reveals himself to his brothers and says, I'm your brother that you sold. Now notice what perspective he ends up having in this. What did Joseph do with the burden, the difficulty that God had allowed into his life? Genesis 45, verses 3, I'll start in verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me to before you to preserve life. These 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me for you, preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now it was not you that sent me hither, God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Follow God, we must accept what he gives and allows into our life. God allowed Joseph to be mistreated by his own family and everything else because God had a bigger plan. God wanted to accomplish something, and he even used the evil of man to accomplish it. We find that Joseph accepted these things step by step. Because of that, God used him in a great way. God does want us. I have a question. When does God want us to understand this? It's one thing for Joseph at the end to look back and go, second in command now. Now I understand why I'm here. What I see when I read in Scripture, I see that Joseph's attitude right from the very start when he gets sold into slavery is, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to trust God. I don't understand, God, what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. I'm accepting this is what you have for me right now. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to accept what he's allowed into our life from the start, not in the end when we can finally understand why he did these things, allowed these things. Let me encourage you. For you to follow God, you have to accept the things that you can't change in your life right now. Accept it. Say, God, I'm going to trust you with this. Not always easy to do. This is what we're trying to do right now as a family, to trust God. Praise the Lord that Russia has not invaded Moldova yet. But we're not in the clear yet. Russia's continuing to fight. Still things going on in Odessa. And I told you that's the city to be watching right now. In Tunisia, there's already been two events where there have been a rocket-propelled grenade launcher that went into a building there in Transnistria. Someone's trying to stir the pot there. Everyone's pointing fingers at other people. Who knows who did it? There's a radio tower, communication tower that got blown up in Transnistria, that part of Moldova. There are provocations that are going on. Just yesterday, I received a link to a news article another missionary friend had sent me saying that one of the ladies in the United Kingdom is proposing that Moldova be equipped with weapons that are up to NATO's standard in order to ward off Russian attack and aggression. Moldova doesn't have really an air force, doesn't have much to be able to ward off anything right now. Mixed feelings about it because I'm thinking, well, if we have those things, then there might be a greater reason for Russia to use greater forces. There's a good portion of people in Moldova that would love to see Russia come back in. It's scary to think. Right now, things are very precarious. We don't know. We have our plane tickets to fly back into Romania, where our van is, and then once we get over jet lag, to head back to Moldova. This is our dream, our desire, what we long to do. There's a lot of unknowns. Right now, what we have to do is accept what God has allowed. Realize God has a purpose and a plan for it. We don't know what will be. We do know the one who does. See, God makes no mistakes. Even though so many things nowadays seem out of control, even in this country, we feel like we have no way to really change these things. It's bigger than these things. Talking with Brother Stan this morning, sharing how God, this isn't the first time he's had to deal with famine or the history of mankind. He had his children that he had to take care of during those times. They had to trust him. We're having to do the same thing now. Last thing I want us to look at is to follow God, we must trust in his provision. Follow God, we must trust in his provision. Notice what Joseph ends up giving testimony, or what we read about Joseph here in Genesis 47. Joseph's brothers, they go back home, they get their dad, tell their father that Joseph is alive. Can you imagine the kind of family table discussion they had when they had to explain to their father what happened? I really wonder when it was that Joseph's brothers had to explain this to their father what they had done and why Joseph was away from their family for over 20 years. Joseph's father ends up believing once he sees the chariots and all the things that Joseph had sent as gifts. They head down to Egypt. Notice what it says in chapter 47 of Genesis, verses 11 through 13. Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. We see here that to follow God, we must trust in his provisions. Joseph, step by step, had to trust in God's provision of safety and care in order for God to fulfill his will in Joseph's life. And it's seeing that God ended up providing for not just Joseph, but also his entire family, as he was going to fulfill what he had promised Abraham. God provided exactly what Joseph needed and his family needed in this time. I look back and see, I see how our God ended up providing for us this whole thing. It has been amazing. I love getting to see these things because it shows us that our God is alive. I want my children to know that the God we serve is the living God. He cares for us, and he takes care of us. I want to just give it real short, just some bullet points here of some ways that we saw God's provision. God provided the money for the 1 week rent for the apartment was in Iași, in Romania. We thought it would just be 1 week and end up being 3 weeks there. Provided the owner of the apartment, he actually dropped the price every single week we were there. It's not normal, folks. God ended up providing, laying on the hearts of churches and some individuals to help without us even asking. So all that, those expenses, they were covered. God provided a place for me to stay during the 2 weeks when I was in Moldova. I went working on the documents, and I was able to stay with another missionary. God allowed me to be a blessing to him. His wife was back in the States, and there were some other things that caused that to occur when she was trying to take care of his mom. He's trying to take care of documents, just all that going on. And God ended up providing the fellowship that he needed and that I needed in that time. Provided also the help that I needed in getting the documents sooner than what I probably should have, even in the span of those 2 weeks. Put me right in the right place, and God ended up providing the people to help me with that. God provided the help I needed also in getting the aid for the refugees. Provided the money for picking up the food to take to the camp. God provided the money for me to provide the tickets and those Ukrainians that I had picked up. God provided a place for us to stay the last 3 weeks in the western part of Romania for free. God provided that. After seeing all this, there were still some people that had written to some churches that said, hey, is there something we can do to help you? I mentioned this in my prayer letter, the last prayer letter. And I said, well, actually the last thing is just we have to redo our plane tickets to fly out of Romania. And I've been told from our travel agent that that's going to cost some money. And so I talked to the travel agent. He told me about what to expect with that, and I had written those people. Well, 3 hours later, I get an email from one of those people and said, hey, actually, this past Sunday, our church already voted and sent money. Sent $1,500. Total for getting all the plane tickets changed and flying out of Romania was $1,483, I think it was. I'm going to write back those people that I had mentioned the need to and said, sorry, God already provided. And I felt guilty. I honestly felt so guilty because here it was thinking that I have to try to help God out on this. God already had it taken care of. Guys, this is just one snippet how God works in our lives. We may not always see God's provisions when we want to see them. God's timing is always, always, always going to be perfect. Are you following God today? Are you struggling with following God right now? I encourage you, don't stop following the Lord. If you have stopped, get back to following him. It's worth it because you can trust him in the unknown. He's going to provide with what you actually need, and he's going to provide it when you need it. God is the living God, and the same God that helped Joseph as he followed God is the same God that's going to help you. If you're here this morning, question for you, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. You didn't choose to be born in this country. You could have been born in Ukraine. You could be over in the eastern part that is war-torn. One of those missiles would have landed in your apartment, taken your life. I have a question. Where would you spend eternity? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us. God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you, to forgive you of your sins, and he's made a way. There's only one single way for you to make peace with God and to be brought into a relationship with him. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You have to recognize that you have a need. No person is going to seek chemotherapy or any other kind of treatment for anything until they're first convinced that they have the problem. You have to understand you have this need. We all do. So read the verse, Romans 3:23. We have all sinned, all of us. Because of our sin, we deserve God's wrath and punishment. He loves us. And that's why he sent Christ to die for us. This morning, you can walk and leave this place having made peace with God, knowing that you now have spiritual life and eternal life, and you can walk out here having peace with God. There's nothing more important than that. That's why we could sing like we could this morning about being saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. Sin is a horrible slave. Why do we see the war and the problems that we have in this world? It's because of sin. We like to blame the government, but it's sin, okay? And this is what God wants to deliver you from. Loves you. Eternity is a long time, folks. Don't put it off. Don't wait. If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, if you don't know where you stand in your relationship with God, come talk with pastor. Come talk with someone from this church and get that taken care of today. You can start seeing and walking with this God who loves you. You can start seeing his provision. You can start seeing his love in your life. And you can start seeing how God is an amazing, true, living God. Just follow the Lord, folks. What is it that God wants you to do this morning? What is the decision that he has for you to make this morning? Just to stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to hand it over to pastor.